This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. A couple shout-outs here for the Washington Commanders. It's 1 o'clock, which means we open up the phone lines. Your thoughts on Commanders-Eagles. It's rivalry week on AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some...
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Oh, man. Do you remember how good things were 3 weeks into the season when Washington was 2-1? And we were calling the NFL Rookie of the Year Award the Pepsi Commanders Rookie of the Year Award because it was won by Jaden Daniels over and over and over again. And then Jalen Lane got one, and Bill got one. Well, Bill's back for another one. Shout out to Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, last week's Pepsi Zero Sugar Rookie of the Week in the National Football League. He was terrific for Washington in their win. And we really are seeing the vision, the speed, the agility. Just needs to improve on blocking. And it's like so crucial when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels. You need to block for him. And right now they definitely trust Chris Rodriguez and Jeremy McNichols for more for that. And I think he needs to improve his pass catching. But if he can keep it up for the rest of this season, it's going to be interesting what the coaching staff and front office does in the offseason with Chris Rodriguez, Jeremy McNichols, Bill, Austin Ekeler trying to return as well. I think there's a chance Bill is on the roster next year. I don't think he's going to be the starting running back, but he might be able to earn that job. If he can get over 100 yards in the final three games, that would give everybody a ton of confidence. So big shout out to Bill. It's Corey Kroski Merritt for winning the Pepsi Rookie of the Week Award. And we have to sing a song. Happy birthday to Jaden Daniels. Happy birthday to Jaden Daniels. JD5. It's just cool to see a lot of photos of him smiling. He posted a video that his mom put together of all these. I mean, he was a cute kid. Jaden was a cute kid. And he's grown up to be my savior at the quarterback position. So I can't wait to see him fly high again and hope he has a great birthday. And, knowing Jaden, he's still practicing. He's still probably watching film, probably getting some extra work with the receivers, working on the VR headset. This goal for the offseason this year has to be to make sure that Jaden Daniels can stay healthy. How do they do that? I think they have to even bolster the offensive line even more. I think they have to go out and get him an elite weapon at tight end. And I think they need more help at wide receiver. Can't go into next season with Terry Debo and Noah Brown or Terry Debo and Jalen Lane or even Terry Debo and Luke McCaffrey. There needs to be a third weapon at wide receiver that scares people. Maybe it's Brandon Ayuk. Maybe it's a rookie that gets drafted. Maybe it's somebody that becomes a free agent. But we need that threat at that third receiver like Olamide Zaccheaus was last year. He was so good when we got him the ball in the flat and in open space. Dan Quinn sat down at the podium to speak with the media ahead of today's practice, which will be the final practice of the week again because, remember, this team plays Saturday this week, 5 o'clock against the Eagles. You can hear it right here, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. Here's head coach Dan Quinn.
On Saturday night, so captain-wise, these three truly represent that. So offensively, Terry McLaurin, and just playmaking and, you know, ops to go lead us in lots of ways. That's a big deal. Defensively, Jeremy Reeves. There's going to be a hitting game. There's going to be one that's relentless and finishing and all of those. And Jeremy certainly represents that. And then on the special teams and the overall team side, Antonio Hamilton And, you know, for him, the type of energy and attitude that he brings, like I said, that was at the top of my mind, a competitor's kind of night. And those three are that. So I'll get rocking with you guys.
Laramie Tunsil's update status?
Yep. So Laramie has a strained oblique, and he will be out. Tried to go at practice yesterday and just not there yet, so we'll hopefully get him back for the following game, but not for this one.
So a couple things with him. First, how Brandon did in his absence, but also the run games continue to kind of develop again. Can you still find that identity you've been looking for, even with this little time remaining? Do you feel like you're finally starting to get that?
Yeah, I think it's really important, John. And the identity piece, you're right, and that's what these 3 weeks are to me, and why, like, having three division games, like, so important for us to recapture that north. The physicality, the taking care of the ball, we've had, has continued to haunt us. And so the ability to create takeaways. So those things are, yeah, super important. Yeah, Laramie's been a big part of everything, run game, pass protection. And so his ability to displace people from the line, down on double teams. And Brandon, I thought, really, he had been ready. He was ready. He looked ready, you know, and performed that way.
You had indicated earlier in the season that you wanted to see Brandon kind of take that next step.
Yep.
What did he show over these, you know, however many weeks to do that?
Yeah, and that's the one spot we haven't been banged up on in that space. And so obviously disappointed when, you know, Chris stepped in and stayed into that space. But then I also saw a guy working guard and tackle. He's been our jumbo, you know, so there's some things like, hey, let's get him back in the fight, get him back into it. I saw good practice habits, number one. So I wasn't surprised, Nikki, that he performed well, because this wasn't a guy that, you know, put his head down and sulked about it. He said, okay, I'm going to go to work and get to it. So it's not always smooth, but I thought that showed a lot about his resilience to say, okay, yeah, these are not circumstances that I want, but I'm going to go battle for it. And when called, or if called, like, he would show and demonstrate that he was ready. And some people bullshit themselves and say they won't, or say they'll be ready, but like, you have to put the work in to do that. And I've certainly seen that from BC.
Just a quick Jaden question. Did Laramie's injury or his situation factor at all into the decision to keep Jaden out, just knowing he may not have? Okay.
You talked about on defense wanting to see a lot more pass rush. Could you talk about the Giants front and then your front offensively?
Yeah. So it's such an important part of, like, sometimes, Don, it's not the sack, but it's the pressure. And can you move a quarterback where, you know, he has to get off the first read and get into the next spot? And so that's often what I look for first. So often in pass rush, can I beat somebody to the punch? You know, the speed, the disruption to go. Sometimes that's from blitz, where you can overload a side or a running back with the right matchup. But if it's a four-man, you got to go win. And you got to jump off the ball and beat somebody to the spot, even if you're not sacking them. And I think maybe the clearest example of that, at the end of the first half, Vaughn had a good pressure. He wasn't able to sack Dart on the play. He got him on the next one. But the scramble was an incomplete, which led to, you know, so those are the plays that I look for as well. They don't show up as much on the stat sheet or you talk about, but they're super important. And then with Philly, the line, they've got a good line. And Hurts can also use his legs to get outside the pocket to do things. So it'll be important for us when to go take our shot, when not to. The run game's super important, obviously, anytime you play against them. And that has to be at the top. And then when we get our chances, can you move the quarterback, hit him, and see if you can find some disruption that way. But it's one of those ones where you got to pick your shots for sure.
Hey, Coach, and so speaking of the pass rush, Drake Jackson has been full practice so far this week. Is there any update on him?
Yes. Yeah, Drake had a good week. Kind of got started last week, the individual piece. We were ramping up, hopefully, you know, to look at this game as one for him to go. And, yeah, he'll be able to play.
And then Von Miller, you just mentioned Von Miller. What have you seen from him in this last kind of couple stretch here?
Yeah, I liked, like, that sequencing behind the sack. I mean, that'd probably be the thing to write about, but it was interesting. It was almost like a three-play sequence. I call that, like, wreaking havoc. So he had a pressure, and then the next one he had a sack, and then the next one there was a false start. And so that's what I'm looking for, to see, can I affect somebody? Okay, the first one he got a pressure. The second one he got a sack. Now there's some mental pressure that's going on with it as well. So I thought that probably clearly illustrated the impact best Candy in that spot. And so we'll need some more of that for sure. And like I said, Philly's good offensive line. But one thing about Vaughn, like, you know, his angles, how he's going to work his hands. He's got a real game plan to how to rush. And I know he's up for that challenge for sure.
That was well said by Dan Quinn, because something I certainly noticed during the game, Von Miller was playing more snaps and was more effective as a pass rusher in that game against the New York Giants, taking advantage of their weak offensive line. We'll see what Washington can do. At the edge rusher position against Philly, that is something that they will be monitoring throughout the rest of this season. That's why it's important to get Drake Jackson an opportunity. Like, are they going to say it's good enough with Jacob Martin, a healthy Dorrance Armstrong, a healthy Dietrich Wise, with Drake Jackson and Von Miller? And then, of course, Frankie Louvu gets to rush every once in a while. Or do they need to sign a free agent edge rusher? Do they go out and spend a draft pick on an edge rusher? That is one of the key positions there, trying to find out if the guys are currently on this roster over the final three games. That, tight end, safety maybe, we'll see. But definitely cornerback as well, as Antonio Hamilton Sr. was named one of the captains after the way he played in the secondary last weekend. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. We are gearing up for the college football playoffs, and a team from the state of Virginia is involved. JMU heads out to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks on Saturday night. The playoffs begin on Friday night with Alabama-Oklahoma. But Week 16 in the National Football League kicks off tonight on Amazon Prime with a thriller. The LA Rams and the Seattle Seahawks for the division, part two, as the Rams won with a great defensive effort the first time these two teams met, 21-19. We go around the National Football League here on NFL Hits.
Every regular season matchup, every head coach on the hot seat, the hit stories in the NFL. NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So I read a good article this morning by Bill Barnwell. Love Bill Barnwell's takes on the National Football League, and he ranked the NFL head coach potential openings from best to worst. And it reminded me, we have not given out our Hadid Mercer rug cleaning coach's hot seat in the last few weeks here. So I had Jonathan Gannon, Zach Taylor, and Raheem Morris on the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning coach's hot seat. And remember, Pete Carroll fired his offense coordinator, right? And anytime that happens, you know you're next. So we put Pete Carroll on the hot seat the next week. So Jonathan Gannon, Zach Taylor, Pete Carroll. I definitely think that Kevin Stefanski belongs back on it. I can take Pete Carroll off. I think it's actually trending towards him keeping his job. But I would argue Aaron Glenn belongs in the hot seat because he had to fire his DC. When you fire one of your coordinators, you are on your last leg. I even say it in Washington with Dan Quinn. That seat is heating up. Now, he didn't actually fire Joe Witt. He somehow just replaced him and did his job. But they're going to have to fire Joe Witt in the offseason for sure. So week 16, three coaches on the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning coach's hot seat. Here are the three best openings, if they were to open up after the season, according to Bill Barnwell. Jay Money, tell me if you agree. Number three, Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got an elite defense over there, one of the best defensive players to ever play the game. And if you like the quarterback situation, if you think you can find a quarterback, that team could be in the playoffs next year.
I have Tennessee as a better opportunity for a head coach than Cleveland.
Tennessee needs so much. Tennessee
Yeah,
needs...
but I still think Cam Ward is special.
I love Cam Ward, but we're seeing it this season. He can't do it on its own. I think if you put Cam Ward in Cleveland right now, they would be about 500.
Yeah, okay. But if Tennessee had not fired Mike Vrabel, I think they would be having a lot more success.
Oh, for sure. They made a lot of missteps around along
the way.
They got
to get the coach right. If they get the coach right, I think they could be a playoff team next year. So we could go back and forth on Tennessee versus Cleveland. Number two, the Arizona Cardinals.
Interesting. I think that kind of revolves around Kyler Murray, right? If you believe in him and you think you can fix him, it's a playoff-level team? The defense played better in the beginning of the season?
I don't know if I have Arizona in my top three. Look, I like Trey McBride. I think they've got some pieces on defense. But, you're probably going to come in as the head coach and try to draft Fernando Mendoza. And you have to give up on Kyler Murray, I think, if you want that job to be attractive. In my mind, number one, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, and I've been saying that job needed to open up last year. I can't believe they stuck with Zach Taylor. They are wasting prime Joe Burrow. We've got Joe Burrow now acting like he's going to retire. This job needs to open up in the offseason. I think it's the number one job.
The one that I'm surprised isn't on there is the Giants job. It depends a lot on how you think about Jackson Dart, but I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are very high on him. We played a clip yesterday of someone saying he could be the next Josh Allen. If that's the sentiment in the media, you've got a lot of pieces defensively, a young running back, Malik Nabers will be back healthy next year. I'm surprised they're not on the list ahead of a couple of those teams.
Yeah, they're on the list at number six here, according to Bill Barnwell. They have the 18th most cap space in the offseason. I don't believe in Jackson Dart at all. If I was coming into New York to be the head coach, I am drafting a quarterback.
So I don't think they'd hire you as a head coach then.
I might even start Jameis Winston over Jackson Dart.
I
don't like this guy running headfirst and darting his head into opponents and thinking he's going to last. He also came out yesterday. Did you see the quote? It was basically him saying, every smart coach that has ever existed has told me that they tackle me like a running back because of the way I play and that I should change, and yet I don't change. Right? Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Dan Quinn, all these coaches say, yeah, I mean, we got a chance to knock that ball loose because the way he runs, he puts himself in harm's way, and Jackson Dart's like, yeah, I'm just not going to change my style of play, though. That's who I am.
I mean, again, you got to respect that to a certain point, but also he needs to change it if he wants a long career. If he wants anything longer than 2 years.
Did he get a concussion in the Commanders game?
I bet. He was definitely evaluated for one.
Yeah.
He had to come out on the goal line.
I don't know if we ever got an answer, but I guess if he's starting this weekend, then he didn't have a concussion.
I guess.
But it was weird. I mean, because that was almost like it was less of a concussion and more of like check his neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just he's taking way too many hits. So that's my worry about that Giants job. So top three best openings here for me, number one is Cincinnati. I think number two, I would probably... there's another job ahead of Tennessee. I would probably say Atlanta if Raheem Morris gets fired. I don't like the Miami job, and McDaniel's probably going to end up keeping it, though, because of the change of the quarterbacks.
You think?
Yeah, I really do. I think that decision right there was, hey, we are keeping McDaniel. We're moving on from Tua.
I mean, they were going to move on from Tua either way. I don't see a way they hold on to him. I think his only shot was making the playoffs.
I think there's a chance they hold on to him. I think that they understand that he's been dealt a bad hand by his quarterback's health, and they have not had a good season. But they were building something there during a three-game stretch. And like I even go back to I thought he was going to get fired like week five, Thursday Night Football, and they were in it till the end against the Bills. Like, I think the effort level his team has shown the ownership, and it's dysfunctional there in Miami, and the general manager, that we have the right coach, we just don't have the right quarterback.
Yeah, I could see it. Like, when they went on that run, I kind of cooled off, but now that they're making moves like this, it just feels like the time is up.
Yeah, I do think that if he closed the season with Tua, he was gone. But Vegas, if Vegas opens up, that'd be interesting. But yeah, I would probably go Atlanta at two and then Tennessee at three. Do you think that the Giants will end up hiring a NFL head coach or a college head coach?
I think they're going to grab an NFL head coach. I've heard a lot of buzz around Marcus Freeman. I don't see a world where he leaves Notre Dame. That's not happening. He's the only coach that I think would even make a little bit of sense from the college ranks. Maybe you get a Lincoln Riley, potentially, but I don't even think he's that hot of a name anymore.
Sarkisian was interested in the Tennessee job. Would he be interested in New York? Would you want Cliff Kingsbury?
I would. I'm looking at an offensive coordinator. It sounds like Kevin Stefanski is going to get fired. He's my number one target if he's gone.
What?
Absolutely.
What? To be your head coach?
Two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski? Absolutely he's my target to be head coach.
That's funny, dude.
He's a really great offensive mind, which is what you need with a quarterback like Jackson Dart. He was working with Brian Daboll, who I wouldn't have fired anyway. I think I might be in a little bit of a minority there, but I wouldn't have fired him anyway, at least not in the middle of the season. I want an offensive guy. I want him. I want Mike McDaniel, or I want Cliff Kingsbury. One of those three.
If you get Kevin Stefanski, you're not going to make the playoffs. I don't think that would be the right move.
He's taken
at all.
The Browns to the playoffs like three times. Like, that's impossible.
All right, here's his coaching record: 11-5, year one. Then 8-9, 7-10, 11-6, Baker magic, right? Then 3-14, 3-11.
Well, that was Joe Flacco magic that next year.
For 2020 was Baker magic. 2023 is Flacco magic.
And the other years were injuries to
Baker.
But
he's like, but you're saying he's an offensive-minded coach, and all I know is that Cleveland's had an incredible defense during his time.
Well, they can't find a quarterback. They've tried a million times to find a quarterback. They went and traded for Deshaun Watson. It didn't work. They went and drafted Baker Mayfield. They gave up on him too early. They went and they drafted two quarterbacks this year. That's not working. They've made a lot of moves. They just can't find a quarterback. And they're not exactly one quarterback away, but I don't think it's Kevin Stefanski's fault at all. I don't like the way he's managing Shadur this year, which I think is why he's going to get fired. But I think he could turn it around in New York.
I don't think that's the right coach for the job. But, hey, New York's got to hire someone. And eventually they're going to get good again. I think that's the hope.
Maybe. We'll see.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. I do kind of hate to see the announcements from players saying that they are committing to the same university for another year. But Kevin Jennings will be back at SMU as their quarterback. He's going to come into the season as a top 10 quarterback, probably. I called them Lamar Jackson light in the offseason. We had him on AWOD Radio at ACC kickoff. SMU is going to be back for another year, in which I expect them to finish at the top of the ACC. Mizzou's quarterback is going to transfer and skip the bowl, and he started his college career at Penn State. That's why Hokies fans perked up, I think, when they saw the news that Mizzou's quarterback would be transferring. It's time to talk about all things college football ahead of the college football playoffs here on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So I just saw a hype video for James Madison University, the JMU Dukes, as they head to Eugene, Oregon, to take on the Ducks here. And you know, they feel like they belong, and this is an opportunity to show the world that they belong on a national level here in a massive game that will be on TV nationally, TNT, HBO Max, and True TV. And you know, JMU has won a championship. Now it's time to try to do it at the highest level. I'll tell you this. The hype video got me fired up, and I'm also getting more fired up by the more and more I hear people say JMU has no chance or they just have no shot in the world. And look, you can say that. I got mad at Michael for saying 0%. Give me a 1% chance, and that's all that matters. It's getting me excited. I didn't even go to JMU. You're a JMU alum. I mean, this is a huge, huge moment in your university's life, man.
I'm so fired up for this. I'm so excited. I'll be here. I'll be in the studio. I'll be watching this game. I'll be locked on it. I was just telling you in the break, I think if they score early in this game, if they score in like a big play on the first drive, go up 7-0, you see there's going to be a lot of JMU fans there. Maybe not a stadium takeover, but a lot of JMU fans there. You see the fly, you see the streamers get going in the air. You get a lead. I might get delusional here. I think I might go into a frenzy and think they're going to win this game if they get up 7-0 early.
Yeah, no, it would be cool. I mean, look, I'm jealous. I love VCU. I'm proud of my education and happy to be part of the radio broadcast team for VCU basketball, but I missed not having football on campus here. I mean, this is what you live for.
That's
an
right.
opportunity like this. It's incredible. How have you enjoyed the week-long hype train here talking about this matchup, or is it kind of upset you with how many people have come out and said they don't belong?
It's been really fun. There's been plenty of people saying that they don't belong. I know we belong, and that's all that matters to me. They can say what they want and they can be wrong, but it's just been fun to see like the banter between JMU fans and Oregon fans. There's been a lot of like really high adrenaline, just anxiety between a lot of the two teams that are matching up. Alabama and Oklahoma, they've met twice. They met earlier this year, didn't go well. The whole Notre Dame thing, that's over the Miami and A&M game. Tulane doesn't have a coach. Ole Miss doesn't have a coach. But JMU and Oregon have been having fun with each other. There's been a couple really good Twitter accounts from JMU that's going out. JMU Sports News has been killing it. They got an athletic article written about them.
Nice.
Because of all the
Michael
stuff.
Was talking about the guy that is taking the train all the way to JMU. I just think it's unfortunate because I do think that Oregon could win it all. And look, it would have been interesting to see if Oregon was in the Big Ten championship game, what would have happened there. Could they have beaten Ohio State? I do think they're on the same level as Indiana. I don't think that Indiana's much better than them. I think Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten. But yeah, I really like Dan Lanning and what he's done at Oregon. I think they have a chance to win it all. But that will be your late game on Saturday. Over to the 3:30 game from Oxford, Mississippi. I will be rooting hard for Tulane. I mean, I think I did enough rants. Ole Miss missed an opportunity. They should have let Lane Kiffin coach this team. They should have never given him the deadline to make a decision here. You finish the fight with the guy who started it, with the guy that brought these guys here, with the guy that gave Ole Miss fans the best season they've had in 20 years. It's a shame because I think they have a star running back in Quan Lacy, but I am rooting hard for Tulane. I'm rooting hard for the coach, Coach Summerall. I'm rooting hard for Jake Reslaff there. I would love for Tulane to be in this game, and I think this will come down to the trenches. I think Tulane, with their quarterback, will be able to throw it, but will they have time to release the ball downfield? Will they be forced to throw because Ole Miss is stuffing every single run that they attempt? That's what it's going to come down to. I do think when you see these big boys against these smaller conferences, the only way that they can get in this game is if they can make some plays in the trenches, open up a hole for their running back or get in the backfield and disrupt Ole Miss's offense. But I'm really looking forward to that game, and I am all in on rooting for an upset for Tulane. I do not want Ole Miss to win this one.
Yeah, I'm all in on Tulane as well. I'm here for the underdogs this year. I'm here for the underdogs always in sports, but Tulane is a really good team. They got beat up by Ole Miss last time they played. 35 points, 45-10. They're gonna take that experience. They're going to learn. The no coach over there at Ole Miss just makes them, like you said, a little bit unlikable. They kind of have a bit of an underdog story because they got abandoned by their coach at the same time. It's a bit of a mess over there. I want in my heart of hearts, JMU Tulane in the finals. I think that would be so much fun.
All right, Miami, Texas A&M. Love this coaching matchup. Cristobal against Elko there, who had so much success in the ACC. That's why he went to Texas A&M. Good quarterback matchup as well. Look, I want to see what Carson Beck will do in this opportunity here. Last year he got hurt. He got hurt in Georgia's SEC title game. And he wasn't the same after that, and they went with Gunnar Stockton. So I want to see what Carson Beck can do here. Look, the reason he chose Miami was, I think, because they had not just, like, hot chicks, you know, the women, the money, the cars of Miami, but they had the number one overall pick. And I think that deep down was a big part of his decision. He wants to go to pro. He wants to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. He was in the Heisman conversation at the beginning of the year. I was not a Carson Beck fan to start this season, but he kind of did win me over with his accuracy. I mean, the completion percentage against Virginia Tech, and I get it was a bad season, 85%. 85% completion percentage. South Florida was good this season, right? They had a bowl game against ODU. They were coming off of a win against Florida when they played Miami. He had 83% completion percentage and three touchdown passes against Florida State, one of their biggest games this season. Four touchdowns, zero interceptions. Just really solid completion percentage, quarterback rating. So this is the moment here for Carson Beck to prove to everybody why you belong as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. You got to find a way to win this game, lead your team to victory. On the other side, though, A&M has been one of the best teams in college football from start to finish this season. They had one of the most incredible comebacks already this season. I'm interested to see the way they show up here in this college football playoff game. I kind of think that they didn't fire on all cylinders in their final game against Texas because they knew it wasn't going to eliminate them. So this is the big matchup here because I do think that both these teams have a chance to go on and win their next matchup. It's going to be very difficult, but I think of the teams that could win two games that are playing the opening weekend, Miami and Texas A&M are among the best, and then Alabama-Oklahoma. I mean, that's just an incredible matchup because both those teams, just like Miami and Texas A&M, will feel like that they can go and take down Indiana.
The Miami and Texas A&M one is the most exciting game, at least matchup-wise, for me in this college football playoffs. You talked about the quarterback matchup. They've got two of the best weapons at wide receiver in the entire country. Malachi Toney for Miami and Casey Concepcion for
who was in Texas the ACC.
Yeah. Right. Both of those guys have just been electric with the ball in their hands. And the way that they've been able to just turn this season around for their teams on offense, be that main engine, that's one of the big things I'm looking for in that one.
Alabama, I'm telling you, there is going to be calls for Kellen DeBoer to lose his job if they lose this game. Making the playoffs at Alabama is not enough. You got to make the playoffs and win a game. They've got the quarterback in Ty Simpson. They've got a really strong defense. They got playmakers on the outside as well. I think Oklahoma has the better quarterback when he's fully healthy. This is going to be a really fun matchup here. And, of course, they played each other in a game in which Oklahoma won, having to come from behind to win that game. It is going to be super exciting. Look, John Mateer was my Heisman Trophy winner towards the start of the season, and he just has not been the same ever since he was dealing with that injury there. So I think this is a matchup that America is going to be fired up for on Friday night. I am expecting this one to be a really good contest here. I mean, just like the first game, I think it might come down to a field goal at the buzzer.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Defense is going to be huge. Oklahoma's defense absolutely ravaged that Alabama offense when they first played. Ty Simpson hasn't had his greatest month of football. If they can turn that around, if they can just put up more than 25 points, I think they can win because that Oklahoma offense has not been the same since John Mateer went down with his thumb injury. Yeah. They haven't really been able to put points up on the board, but that defense and that special teams is elite for Oklahoma, and that's where they're going to have to win that game.
Coach Brent Venables said, quote, speaking of the injury to his quarterback, from a stability standpoint, I think he's better than he's been and gripping the ball and things like that. So that's why he doesn't have a brace on. We are all looking forward to the college football playoffs beginning Friday. If you want to fill out a bracket and give us your thoughts, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. ESPN's Fantasy Football is running a bracket challenge. You can sign up today. And you can call in 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Last night, Wednesday night football in the AWOD household, the Survivor Season 49 finale. We closed the chapter on Season 49, had the end of season wrap-up show, and now it's on to Season 50. I cannot wait. It will begin in the spring. I think my guess is that they will do it the week after the Super Bowl. That's usually around the time when they start things up. Season 50 is going to be awesome. It was fan favorites coming back. A lot of them have been winners as well. I'm not going to spoil last night's season finale. Maybe we'll get to it on Friday. But it had me thinking about what's going on in Hollywood and entertainment. That's the lead story on Netflix.
Netflix. The best of streaming services, TV, movies, books, podcasts, and more. We've got you covered on Netflix.
Knives Out. Knives Out is a movie franchise created by Rian Johnson. It is a mystery series centered around Detective Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig, and he solves eccentric crimes, star-studded cast, clever twists, and Knives Out came out in 2019. I gave the original 4.5 out of 5 joggers. Big fan of the original. Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, came out in 2022. I think it took a slight step back, was not as good as the first one, but still solid movie. With some good twists, maybe a better twist in the second one than the first one, I'd give it a 4 out of 5 joggers. The most recent one was released this week. It is called Wake Up, Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery. And it's the worst of the three of them by far. I would probably give it a 1.5 out of 5. I just think they missed completely.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because I love the franchise. I was super excited for this to come out. I mean, I wanted to watch it as soon as it came out, and I was hoping to be able to tell all of you guys that it was a terrific movie, and I loved it. It missed the mark. I went on Twitter and complained as well. I haven't really found someone that disagreed with me. I had a lot of people tweeting me, "You're right, me and my wife were wondering the same thing. Why was it so disappointing?" I just that kind of think they missed the mark on like the plot and everything. It wasn't as much of a mystery. It just was not directed and produced as well by Rian Johnson. It sucks because I think Daniel Craig does his thing. He's talking a ton in that crazy Benoit Blanc accent. Just not as many twists. So it's unfortunate. I would say don't waste your time.
That's a shame. I keep adding things to my list, but that one was already on my list. I saw it pop up 2 days ago when I was finishing up Stranger Things. I was like, all right, I'm going to get to that next. But I haven't gotten there. Now, I mean, I'm still going to watch it.
What did you think of the first two?
I loved the first two. They were so good.
That's why you're going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, I'm telling you, and you're going to watch it because you're like me, you like the first two. And about halfway through, you're going to be like, do I really have to finish this dumb movie?
Ugh.
That's how I felt. Speaking of Stranger Things, so I did confirm. Part 2, Christmas. Part 2, I think it's 3 more episodes will be released on Christmas. And then the series finale will be like 1 hour and 15 minutes that will be released on New Year's.
Okay.
But I thought season, what is it, 5 or part 1? Or
yeah.
4 part 1? I think it's been good.
It has.
And it set up a good cliffhanger.
I liked it. It wasn't the first half, and I'm sure it's going to get better with the second half. I don't think this one stacked up to last season. Last season was incredible.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a spoiler, but like, what's the redhead girl's name? Max?
Mm-hmm.
She's terrific. When she's not like in it, it's not as good.
Yeah.
She's terrific. Her brother was good. Like, every character they've added, I think, has been really good.
I think part of the issue is they're focusing a lot more on like kids.
Yeah.
And the kid actors just aren't giving as good of a performance.
Believe me, Millie Bobby Brown can't act. I'm not a fan. She's cool as 11. She's badass when she's murdering people and bleeding out her nose. I don't think she's a good actress. That's my opinion. You know what's coming out on Christmas? And it was one of my favorites as a child, because I probably shouldn't have watched it. It was so R-rated. But Anaconda, it's coming back. The 1997 classic, but this time it's going to have Jack Black in it, and I forget the cast, but like Jack Black came out on an interview and talked about how like him and Paul Rudd had this idea to do a Anaconda movie for like 15 years, and they're finally getting it done. It sucks that it's not original, right? I mean, I kind of hate remaking movies, but it's been a long enough time. 1997 to 2005, there's a lot of people that weren't born in 1997 that can watch the new Anaconda. So that'll be something I might check out on Christmas. I'm always looking for a movie and Chinese food on Christmas. I did finally watch Weapons that Stubb was hyping up. Creepy. Not as good as I wanted it to be, but creepy. Avatar 3 comes out Friday.
Yes.
I did not finish Avatar 2. And I was a huge fan of Avatar 1. But he made me wait a whole decade.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I didn't finish it.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that might get me in trouble here. I don't think the films are amazing. They're fine. The first one is good. The second one I enjoyed. I saw it in theaters, and it's super cool, all of the technology that's going in. I'm going to watch this through one, and I'm going to be amazed by the way that he builds this world and how he gets everyone and all these graphics and everything. But the movies have just been eh.
See, I thought the first one was brilliant with the whole fact of, like, your twin dying, and so you have to take his place, and then, you know, you enter into this, like, thing, and all of a sudden you pop out and you're in the body of the Avatar. I didn't think it ended strong. It really did remind me of Fern Gully mixed with Pocahontas at the end there. And then the second one starts, and it's all about his son. And that's when I lost interest. Did you finish the second one?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Does it get better at the end?
I enjoyed it. Again, they don't finish the strongest, but
yeah.
There's lots. Again, the technology is really cool. It's entertaining. I wasn't bored while watching the movie, but I came away, and I was like, it was cool, but it wasn't great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's unfortunate because, like, the first one came out, and then they inked it to a contract that he can make 5 of them. And he's basically spent his, he's one of our best directors, and he spent his life working on this dumb world called Avatar. And there was so much success to the first one. I really think if they had cut the time in half between the first one and the second one, there would have been a lot more excitement. This is one of the most, like, biggest budgets, and it comes out Friday, and there's very little talk about it.
This is the least I've heard about an Avatar movie. By far. When the first one came out, it was a worldwide phenomenon for a year before it came out.
Oh, yeah.
The second one came out, you knew it was coming out. They advertised it incessantly. You could not get away from it. This one, they're just throwing it in the corner.
I know.
It's getting less and less.
I've seen way more trailers for the SpongeBob movie than Avatar.
Right. And I
don't get that.
I had no idea it was coming out on Friday.
Yeah. One thing I do want to see, though, is Marty Supreme. Have you heard about this? Timothée Chalamet is like a ping pong champion or something. The trailers look really good. I want to check out Marty Supreme. I'm turning into a Chalamet fan. I will keep saying, though, the movie he did, King, I think was god-awful. Just one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But I'm starting to really become a Timothée Chalamet fan. I don't know. Maybe it's because every time he comes out, we realize how big of a sports fan he is.
Yep.
And I didn't like Dune either. I did really like a complete unknown. Bob Dylan's movie, but I'm interested in seeing Marty Supreme.
Did you see
Dune?
I saw Dune. I really like the second movie a lot. The first one,
that's what everyone says. I don't know how you could watch the first one and want a second one.
Well, I watched the first one. I think part of the reason is when I watched the first one, I watched it at home, and we paused it halfway through and went on a grocery run and came back and finished it.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of a break.
There's a lot
through.
Of movies like that. That's why I love the AWOD theater. I mean, sometimes a movie hits after you pause it and you kind of regroup.
And, I mean, even that one, it was still really long. Like, that one I came away, I was like, oh, it's okay. But Dune is, like, such a interesting franchise. There's so much you could do with it. And I just kind of wanted to see how it was. And when you get a movie with that big of a budget, that big of hype around it, you kind of have to go see it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I had a lot of expectations for Dune 1 because I'm a big sci-fi fan. I have no interest in watching Dune 2. The only reason I might go watch Dune 2 is if I do a double feature now.
That's like a Lord of the Rings marathon already.
Yeah, probably not worth it. Probably not worth it. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. It's a VCU game day. VCU Game Days are presented by the Red Door Guys. Our buddy Matt Shelton-Ide from VCU Ram Nation will join us next to preview VCU against American tonight from the Stew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.